open up to Ecclesiastes in chapter 1. Sorry, chapter 4. Just after Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, roughly in the middle of the Bible. Just want to read one verse here, chapter 4 and verse 1, and it says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter." And I guess that's universally, that's mankind. You know, whatever it is, this world is racked with war and racked with evil people that suppress other people and so forth. And life for most people, I guess, across the globe is a struggle with no money, a struggle with no answers, struggle with problems, and then you get to die on top of it. And there's no comforter, we're told here. And Ecclesiastes is a wonderful book, and it tells us so many things. There's no comforter. So go over to John chapter 14. Of course, Jesus Christ came to change things forever, to change things in an amazing way. So I'm just going to read a little bit here, just a couple of verses. John 14, and we'll start in verse 15. And just perhaps for anybody that's a little bit newer here, this is a time around the Last Supper. This is just days before Jesus' life would be taken. Judas has already gone out the door to betray him. And he's sitting here, and there's some wonderful things that he says to his disciples. Just going to read a little bit here from verse 15, where it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." And it's an amazing word, this word comfortless. It means to be deprived of a father or parents, or deprived of a teacher, a guide, or a guardian, and to be orphaned. And I guess that's really what we were all like. You know, we heard a testimony, of course, of people that were lucky enough to grow up in this fellowship. And right from the beginnings, even though they weren't spirit-filled in their very young and formative years, they are still surrounded by parents that loved the Lord and were spirit-filled. And it's just completely different. And for many of us, we didn't realize it until we reached our adult years and started to see the world for what it really is, that it has no answers and that there is no comfort. But this word comforter, it's an amazing word, and I just want to maybe take a moment and just think about how privileged we are to have our Bible. We talk about it, but, you know, it was written in its different components thousands of years ago. You know, the Indigenous people of Australia here, the Aboriginal people, they passed their understanding and their culture, they passed it down by word, you know, around the campfire and so forth, in dance and in word and so forth. Whereas for us, and here through the scriptures, it was written on parchments here and there and everywhere, in different languages. Not only did God cause them to survive, they were translated through different languages. And then from ancient languages, our English has been changed even from the days that we read about here. I mean, if you ask somebody out in the street what's a Christian, they'll say someone that likes Jesus. But someone that's a Christian is someone who's anointed the Holy Ghost. And so words change their meaning. I remember when gay meant that you were happy and light and joyous and all of these sorts of things, but that's been taken away. You come to Australia, well, if you talk back in the old days, a crook was something that a farmer had, a shepherd had to care for his sheep. But in Australia, you're not feeling very well if you're crook. But then it's really amazing, because if you get a crook old deal, it's fabulous. But if you get a crook deal, it's no good. So you can start to get a little bit of a picture how words can change, and perhaps some of the power of their meaning goes by the wayside just because language changes and from translating from one language to another. But this particular word, comforter, it means to call to one's side or to call to one's aid. It's used in a court of justice to denote a legal assistant a counsel for defence, an advocate. In its widest sense, it signifies a comforter. Christ was this to his disciples, and by implication of his word, another, he meant another of the same sort, not a different one. And so we're able to see that Jesus, when he said that he would go and that the Holy Spirit would come, the comforter, it was much more than just arms around. Today, if you talk about comfort, it's a nice pair of slippers and your dog on your lap by the fire. You know, it's lost its true meaning. But we're going to look at a few scriptures, and we're going to see that the comforter, which was given to us, the Holy Ghost, is far more important than just a hug at the right time when we're feeling, you know, a bit down and a bit sad and all those sorts of things. And again, to put a bit of perspective on this, Jesus had come into the disciples' lives and many, many other people that were in the region at the time, whether they met him firsthand, whether he dealt in their lives firsthand, or they were just fed amongst the 5,000 or whatever it was. So many people observed him over 3.5 year period, and were just great promises and great hope was given to them. They saw and they heard things that the world had never seen and never heard before. And his disciples were drawn from amongst the children of God at the time. They weren't Gentile people. That came a little later. And he spoke as no man had ever spoken before. He walked on water. He calmed storms. He fed 5,000, as I said, 4,000 another time. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He healed everything you can imagine. He did miracles with fish and amazing things like that. He spoke about parables. He talked of hope and promises. There's so many things that he did. And then he was going to leave. He said, I'm going. And you'd be thinking, what's all that about? You know, 3.5 years of this amazing hope and perspective, and then he's going to leave. So just where we are here, we'll continue in verse 19. He said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you shall see me, because I live, you shall live also. What an amazing thing to say while he's still sitting there with them and they're all breathing. But he meant that he's going to truly live, and by the Holy Ghost they will truly live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. And just to continue on into verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So he wanted them to understand and to know before he went. He didn't want to be something that just lobbed onto their landscape later. He wanted to let them know what was going to happen and what these things were going to be. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, so he identifies, whom the Father will send in my name, he, the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And so this Comforter that he's going to send will teach us all things. He's specifically talking to his disciples here, but it's a roll-on effect, if you like, to us, that the Holy Ghost will teach us all things. That's why we truly understand. There's people far more academic than you and I that make a career out of reading the Bible and understand nothing, because they don't have the key to unlock the Spirit within. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And there's great encouragement that we need to remember. When we talked about they had no comforter, he's giving them great encouragement here. Peace I leave with you, the peace I'll give you, not the peace that the world has. Don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid, he says. Into chapter 15, verse 26. Jesus is still talking here the same night, the same place. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. So a number of times he's made the point about this Comforter is the Holy Ghost and is going to be sent from the Father. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And again, I love the strength of words. You know, when you stop and you think about it, how can you testify? You have to speak. Who's going to speak? The Comforter will speak. Of course, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, We speak in tongues. So much of the so-called Christian people around the world want to dispense with these things. They want to argue about these things. No Holy Ghost, no salvation. Simple as that. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, and we're told here that when the Comforter will come, he will testify of me. And ye shall also, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And he knew that they would go forth after the day that they received with the Spirit and speak and continue the story. And some of them, of course, wrote some of the epistles and so on that we have. Just into chapter 16 and verse 1. Still the same time, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. So he knew what was coming. He knew what was coming on the other side of Pentecost. And once they were changed and once they'd become Christians, he knew, of course, how things were going to be. And we'll just briefly look at that in the next book, in the book of Acts. Won't necessarily go through some of the points where he repeats the promise. I'll lie. Just in chapter 1 and verse 8. Just as we're going past. Chapter 1 of Acts, verse 8, he repeats here, last words he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So not just a comfort, but a power, we're told here. And ye shall be witnesses, speak all about me, unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And praise the Lord, here in Australia, from the areas where these were written, it certainly is the uttermost part. As they went to the upper room, 120 or so, in chapter 2 and verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And of course, Peter was a changed man. And we haven't got time to look at these things in great depth, but we will come down to verse 33, where he's having a lot of things to say. If you're newer in the Lord, certainly read these passages. They're wonderful. If you've been around for 20 or 30, 40 years, read them too. Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. So it's the completion of what Jesus was talking about sending a comforter, not a different kind of thing, but exactly the same, to live inside instead of alongside, so that we would have that same power, comfort, and many other things that we're going to look at here. But it's interesting where he talks about see and hear. You hear the Holy Ghost. Let's never let anybody try and convince us any different. The Holy Ghost is part of God. God spoke, Jesus spoke, the Holy Ghost speaks as we pray in the Spirit, of course. Verse 37 and 38, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent. Be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's just so important that we do receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you've got a pen and paper, I'm just going to mention a couple of verses along the way if you want to pencil them down. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so this comforter that was promised has so many more aspects to it than just comfort, the name that it was given, the comforter, because we're told that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by that comforter, by that power, by that promise that was given unto us. We understand the love of God and are able to share that with other people. We will go to this one, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just over a couple of books. I only want to read one verse, but I think it pays to look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the stand that we make as a fellowship, the scriptural and biblical stand that we make, often sees us at great disagreement, even with Pentecostal people, about many of these things. But we can read here in Paul's first letter here to the Corinthians, and he's talking about spiritual gifts and all those sorts of things. But in verse 3 of chapter 12, he says, wherefore I give you to understand. And he's talking, when he starts this part of his letter, he talks about is wanting to get rid of ignorance or misunderstanding or lack of knowledge about these things. So he says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And so what he's telling us is if we are speaking in tongues, praying unto the Lord, worshipping in the Spirit, we can't say anything wrong. But you cannot say Jesus is your Lord unless you're able to pray to him in the Spirit. And all the people said, it's as simple as a nose on our face. But of course, people want to argue the point in so many ways about these things. But praise the Lord, the Comforter comes with much more than a hug. It comes with knowledge and understanding and power and everything else. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read in verse 12. So this is the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And it says, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So we can see here that we're able to keep that which is given to us by the power of the Holy Ghost which dwells inside of us. And so we start to connect the dots. This wonderful thing that's been gifted unto us, we're to keep it. And it means, when you look at it again, it means to guard, to watch over, to keep from contamination or loss. So it doesn't just mean stick it in the bottom of your pocket and hope it's there when you want it tomorrow. It's an active thing that every day that we walk in the Lord, our prayer and our reading and our fellowship and our service to God is about keeping us in a place where we don't lose our way in our walk in the Lord. We're all human. We've seen people fall away, praise the Lord. We see people go through some rough patches and then find a way of strength again, as our sister was sharing with us. Nothing more wonderful than someone who's wobbled for a while and finds out what they truly got, you know. And in some ways, I don't suggest anybody ever wobbles, but if you've got to wobble to find out what you really got, wobble, you know. It's a lot better than just sitting there lukewarming your way into nothing, you know, and not realizing what we got. So praise the Lord, but I'm not telling anyone to wobble, so praise the Lord. I think we read what we needed to read there, so we'll go to Ephesians in chapter 2, just back a few books. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 14. This is about Christ Jesus. Actually, we'll read verse 13 just to give it a bit of context. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off, comfortless, had no hope where we were before, as we read, are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain or of two, one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, the Comforter. Now therefore you are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit, through the Comforter. It's essential that we have the Comforter. A lot of people, as I say, particularly a lot of Pentecostal people acknowledge the Holy Ghost, but it's some sort of add-on, you know, they're saved as soon as they give their heart to the Lord, and many of these other aspects, and it's such a crying shame. You know, a good prayer and a good read of our scriptures, it's just so plain and easy to understand, in whom you also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's how we'll understand. First of all, because we've been obedient and because we've asked the Lord. But then the promise that Jesus Christ came to give mankind, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is given to us. People had these amazing things in their life while Jesus was here, physically here. Is able to bend all the facts that we understand, you know, gravity, walking on water, raising dead people, whatever you want to talk about, because Jesus was who he was, he could change everything while he was here. And he's given that same power to us now. Equal in all ways, it said, not a different thing, not a replacement, but a continuation of what was given to us in the first place. Just back to the previous chapter, chapter 1, and in verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise and glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom also you trusted after. This is an interesting passage. I've loved this passage for many, many years. You know, people talk about giving their heart to the Lord and coming to Christ and, you know, loving Jesus and all this. But we also trusted after that we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, not believed in Jesus Christ, believed in the gospel that you were hearing, what we needed to do. We needed to repent, be baptized, and that we would receive the Holy Ghost. When we believed that, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Of course we did. We spoke in tongues. We went through the waters of baptism. We came to know God the way that he wants. Verse 14, that promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So it's an amazing thing that's been given unto us, this promise which Jesus Christ brought about, that's been given to us. Just over the same book, chapter 4, just one verse here, Ephesians 4, verse 30, he continues to write and he says, and grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let's never cause the Holy Ghost grief by the way that we act and the things we do or don't do. You know, let's not be lazy with what's been given to us, because we're told here, it's not, as I say, it's not just a hug, a comfort sort of a thing. It tells us we're sealed unto the day of redemption. We have the papers, we have the stamp, you know, like the wax seal and all of these sorts of things that we have in place to identify us as being ready for the Lord when Jesus Christ comes. Again, if you're just taking a few notes, in Galatians 5:5 it says, for we that through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We're able to do that because of the power given to us. In 1 Corinthians 12:3 it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. And of course, before we came to the Lord and across the world today, the problem with all things is the difference in men. You know, that we're as different colours, argue with different colours, different social groups and so forth. Everybody's at odds with everybody else. But once we come to the Lord, it doesn't matter where we've come from, what our station in life is, if you like, what we do for a job or anything else doesn't matter. We've all been given exactly the same thing and we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's just an amazing setup. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God, by the Comforter which has been given to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's so much more. It's just a complete package, receiving the Holy Ghost. This is one of my favourite chapters, so I'm going to take the liberty of reading it all. I think we're doing all right for time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, this is Paul, of course, writing to the church at Corinth, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And all the people said. It's just the most wonderful piece of writing that under the guidance of God that Paul was able to have recorded down, like I said, over the millennia, on the parchments and the pens and through the languages and the translations and the changing of everything. The Holy Ghost came because Jesus promised, and you and I received the promise because we knew, because the record was kept. And faithful people preached that gospel to us, and now it's our place to preach that faithful gospel to others, that they can find the same thing. He writes on and says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them which are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught. Just this morning I was just reading a little article that came up on my phone. Some scientists somewhere managed to mix some monkey bits with people bits and started growing a whatever in a dish, you know, and they were all patting themselves on the back about it. And they said that they'll be able to cure human diseases in the future. And I thought, human disease is sin and death. The only things that can heal that is God, and all the people said. Only the Holy Ghost can fix those things. They might be able to keep people alive a little longer till they die, but Jesus came to change things forever. He came to give us a comforter, a peace, a way out, hope. This is the things that he bought for us. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He knew, because God can see the end from the beginning. He was aware. Don't ask me how, but he knew that if he gave the opportunity that you and I would be sitting here today, rejoicing in his word, you know, looking forward to the next person that we can witness to and to tell about the hope of these things. He put all of this in place because he knew, which none of the princes of the world, of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, by his Comforter. That's how we've got an insight into these things, because we've received the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God, or by the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. So many wonderful things that have been given to you and I by the Lord through the Holy Ghost. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. The only way we'll ever understand is if we have the comfort of the Holy Ghost to unlock the secrets of the Word of God and have access to his understanding. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and all the people said. That's not a boast, that's a fact. That's because we've been obedient and received the Holy Spirit. We understand the things of the Scriptures. We understand the things that Jesus talked and spoke about. Again, a couple for your pen and notebook. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, if we're led by this Comforter which is given to us. In Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit which dwells in you. So it's essential we have the Comforter to be raised in that last day, either changed in the twinkling of an eye, or raised if we're asleep when Jesus comes back. In Jude 20, it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we need the Comforter to pray in the Holy Spirit to build ourselves up. In Hebrews 2:4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. I just picked a few out here today. There's so many things and so many aspects and angles that we can see that it's essential that this is not just a comforter and a peace, but it's this amazing power and teacher and guide and everything else. It's Jesus Christ inside of us instead of alongside of us. Titus, down after the, he's down in the T section towards the back here, after the Timothys, just in chapter 3, just in verse 5, I'm just going to read one verse now we're here. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We had to be born again. You know, we were all born in the first place, or we wouldn't be here. But Jesus said we must be born again. Otherwise, we're just going to remain the human being we were, but we've become the dwelling place of the Lord now, which is just such a wonderful thing. Where will we go? Actually, we'll mention this one. In Romans, won't turn there, Romans 15:13, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, that we may have this increasing hope all the time, especially as the world's going to get worse and worse, and things are going to change, and perhaps warfare will come sooner rather than later, and so on. You know, nobody wants all of this stuff to come, but we know it's going to, and we've got the mechanisms in place to be able to deal with it and to be ready for when the Lord, when he comes. I'm going to go to this one, Romans, back into Romans, chapter 14. A few little things to finish on. So here in Romans 14, just again, just one verse, in verse 17, it tells us that the kingdom of God, and it's by its definition, it's a wonderful thing. Certainly it is the place where God lives. You know, it's a place when all things are done and dusted, as a different place we're going to be in a different form and all those sorts of things. But in the meantime, the kingdom of God is to be in the presence of God as a child, as a servant now, here on earth. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not the natural things of this life, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. And all the people said, that's what it's all about. This is why the Comforter was given, so that we would understand and be able to apply all of these things in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start reading just a few verses here. Verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. This is true comfort, what we're talking about here. I mean, yeah, we've all, well, plenty of us, I suppose, have got grandchildren, or you've got children yourself, and when they fall over and they hurt themselves or whatever, there's nothing like that hug, you know, that big cuddle, you know, the there and all this sort of stuff. It's good for both parties, good for the child, good for the parent or grandfather that's got to watch them bleeding or teeth hanging out or whatever's going on at the time, you know. But it's just this wonderful hug, but it's nothing compared to what God's done for us. He gave his son. Forgave us of our sins and given us this hope of eternal life. Verse 4 tells us and the God of all comfort. So that's what's being spoken about here. Well, I'm going to reread verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Whatever's going on in our life, we've got access to comfort, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What an amazing thing. It's almost a tongue-twister sentence, because we can do it because it's being done to us. Once we're spirit-filled, we start to walk in the Lord, we get the understanding, we get some wisdom about us and all those sorts of things. We don't get somebody and go, there. We're able to share scriptures with them, testimonies with them, hope. You know, sing a chorus with our brothers and sisters. Whatever it is that we need to do, we can do it because it's not the flesh. It's the Spirit, the Comforter, which has been placed inside of us. Just going to go to 1 John chapter 2 for our last scripture to look at. 1 John's down the back of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2. And we'll start reading in verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And that's the other place that this particular word comforter is mentioned. Now we read it back there in John and so forth, when Jesus is talking about the promise of the Holy Ghost and the comforter and those sorts of things. But this is the same word here. We have a comforter with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We were told that he was not going to be something similar, but we would be given the same to live inside of us. He is our propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It was done once and for all. Now people just have to avail themselves of the opportunity that was paid that day. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If people aren't born again, doesn't matter how much they want to say they love the Lord, the truth is not in him, it says. What is the truth? The Comforter. The promise. You know, the outcome of being obedient to God and his gospel will see us filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence that comes with it. Whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. That's a good one, isn't it? He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So we've got this wonderful, it's brief if you like, but we've got this wonderful example of Jesus Christ in our Bible. The recorded history, if you like, the things that were said that he did. Then we can read the things which he said. He is the Word of God made flesh, so everything in our scriptures points to Jesus Christ in all things. And it's just a wonderful thing that's been made available to us. And I guess just the last couple of points I want to make is just to remember this Comforter is not a replacement for Jesus Christ, but a continuation of Jesus Christ in our lives. We've been told that we've been given power and authority. We've been told that we've been commissioned to go on and preach the gospel. We're not, he bought the gospel, we're continuing on to tell it. We can't save anybody. He didn't ask us to save anybody. He said to preach the gospel, and praise the Lord, we do that. Signs follow us. We're able to pray with people, see miracles, victories, and of course, the gifts and the things that we're going to hear about shortly. But it's essential, if you're watching online, it's essential that you must be born again. The scriptures tell us if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we're none of his. And there's no point in arguing about it. You can argue till the cows come home. You can win the argument, if you like, while you're here on earth. But when the trumpet sounds, you won't. And it really is so important that we're just honest with ourselves, if we haven't received the Holy Spirit, that we see the evidence in the scriptures and we avail ourselves of it. That nothing greater can ever happen for you. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll speak in tongues, of course. And then all of the things that we've looked at here today and so much more is available to us. There's two verses, we won't go to them, in John talks about if all the things that Jesus did and said were recorded, the books of the world could not contain them. And all of this has been placed inside of you and I by the Comforter because we were obedient to the death of Christ. And all the people said, amen.